For our scripture reading this morning, let us turn to the book of Psalms. We will read Psalm 46 again. Psalm 46. And there we read God's holy word to the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. There is a river, the streams thereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, he cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. So far the reading of the word of God. The text of the sermon and for the meditations this morning and also for this evening is found in the portion we read, Psalm 46, verse 5. Verse 5, where we read God's holy word, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Beloved congregation, we continue to study Psalm 46 under the main theme, a mighty fortress is our Lord. And the text for this morning's sermon and for the meditations at the table is found in verse 5. And we will listen to this text under the theme, God is in our midst. God is in our midst. First of all, with pardoning grace. Secondly, with protecting grace. Thirdly, with sustaining grace. And fourthly, with timely grace. God is in our midst, with pardoning grace, with protecting grace. And this evening we will pay attention to the other two thoughts, with sustaining grace and with timely grace. First of all, with pardoning grace. God is in her midst. God is in the midst of who? Well, meant is here the city Jerusalem. The poet refers to the city which is mentioned in the verse prior to our text. There is a river, the streams thereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Jerusalem is the city of God. It is a city of which God has said that he wanted to dwell in. There the temple stood with the Ark of the Testimony, with its golden mercy seat in the most holy place. And everything in the temple, namely all that took place at the temple court and in the building, was a clear testimony of God's gracious presence with his people. He made Jerusalem to be his holy habitation. It's a holy place, since God is holy. And holy means separated from ordinary use, sanctified to God. The place was holy, also the tabernacle and the temple, the attributes and instruments that were present, all was sanctified for the service of the Lord and ordinary use of it was not permitted. God demands exclusive attention and an exclusive manner of service. He cannot just randomly be served on our terms. God is holy. And that excludes our ideas about how he can be worshipped. That also means that disobedience and rebellion are in opposition to his service. God is holy and just. He is of purer eyes than to behold evil. Where can we find evil? Where do we find sin? Well, everywhere in this world. Just look around. See what is happening in the world. Lies, violence, and filthiness fill the world. Just follow the news. All kinds of misery and deceits are broadcasted. Where do we find sin? Have you also discovered that you don't need to go far to find it? Sin dwells in our hearts, in our thoughts, in our actions, in what we say. Scripture is very clear about our natural condition. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. There's none that doeth good. Not one. Paul comes to the sad conclusion in Romans 3, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And yet our text says, God is in her midst. Miracle of grace. It pleases the Lord to dwell among his people, to make his habitation among men who must confess that they are guilty before God. God is in her midst. In the Old Testament, the Lord chose a place to dwell in. Psalm 132, for the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. Why? How can God live among his people? Why does it please him to have Jerusalem as his habitation? How can he live among his people without condemning them? According to God's righteous justice, this is impossible. The one guilty of sin deserves the penalty of death. God cannot live among people unless his holy justice is satisfied. And here we meet an unsolvable problem. Unsolvable from our side. We cannot make it right with God again. We cannot satisfy God's just wrath. From our side, it is impossible to live with God ever again. And that is a shocking reality. We cannot make it right with God again. And God cannot turn a blind eye to our sins. How then can the Lord dwell among his people? Well, therefore, we need to take a look at the holy city. And what do we see? We see a temple building with at the entrance a big curtain, a veil that blocks the entrance. No Israelite could simply enter the temple. Only the priests could. And after that first veil, there was another veil that hung between the holy place and the most holy place. What was behind that veil? Well, the Ark of the Covenant with the golden mercy seat on it. On the golden mercy seat, two cherubim overshadowed the seat with their wings. A picture showing that God is enthroned and dwells in the midst of his people. No one could see the ark. Only the high priest, once a year, on the Yom Kippur, on the Day of Atonement. The ark in the most holy place taught the people that the Lord was in their midst. Yet it was a veiled presence. Two thick curtains made clear that no one could simply come into the Lord's presence. Only the high priest could. But then he had to come with blood. Before he entered the most holy place, a bull and a goat had to be killed. The blood was caught up in basins. And on the Day of Atonement, the high priest entered the holy place with a basin of blood and then entered the most holy place in order to make atonement for the people. Without blood, no man could come before the presence of God. And what did the high priest do with the blood? Well, he drew near to the Ark of the Covenant. The high priest confessed his sins and the sins of the people. And then he put his fingers in the basin and sprinkled the blood upon the altar of testimony, round about the golden mercy seat. And in this way, the high priest sought and found atonement for the sins of the people, so that the Lord could dwell among his people. What did the Day of Atonement declare? That no one can live with God without bloodshed. The sacrifice displays a person's sin guiltiness. And the animal that was consumed by fire shows us what we deserve. We ought to be consumed under the wrath of God. That's an humbling lesson, time and again. Because the atonement of sin needed to take place repeatedly, because we continue to sin. No man is suitable for the Lord's service. No man can live in communion with God. And yet the blood sprinkled on the seat of mercy also tells us that propitiation of sin can be found with God. God accepted the offered sacrifice. God's justice is satisfied. The people can live in communion with God again. And every believing Israelite could go home justified. Did the sacrifice of an animal do that? No. The animals merely pointed to the coming sacrifice to be offered at Golgotha. Christ's suffering and death is the one sacrifice that covers the sins of all the people. He shed his blood for the propitiation of all sin. And that is signed and sealed this morning in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. It points to our sin. That is a reason for us to abhor sin and to humble ourselves before God. It also points to the cleansing power of his blood. Christ's blood cleanses us from all sin. God's justice is satisfied once for all. That means that a sinner can live in communion with God again without a need of paying a penalty, since the penalty is paid by his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. A sinner is reconciled to God. What a miracle of grace. Well, that's the secret of grace that we observe behind this text. God is in the midst of her. That means he is in the midst of her with the forgiveness of sin, with his peace, with his blessings. God takes the initiative. He opens a way of salvation, since it pleases him to live in the midst of his people. And the signs and seals point us to all that God pleases to do in and through his Son. And God is still the same. His desires are still the same. His good pleasure is still the same. Also this morning, he shows what pleases him, namely to dwell in the midst of unworthy sinners because of the sacrifice of his Son. God is in the midst of her. And what does that mean for the believer? That God promises to be present with his blessings. Recall the high priest again. What did he do after he had sprinkled the blood on and before the Ark of the Covenant? He turns back. He turns to the waiting and expectant people. He returns now, he has made atonement. He passes the two thick veils, the curtain closes, and now he stands before the waiting people. And now he lifts up his hands, spreads his fingers, and pronounces the blessing, the major Aaronitic blessing. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee grace. And if we listen carefully to this blessing and pay attention to its content, then we clearly hear the Lord's promise. I promise to be in the midst of my people with my grace, with my peace, with my blessing, since my justice is satisfied. I will abide in the midst of my people and will make them partaker of all the covenant blessings. God dwells in the midst of her to never leave her. God is in the midst of her. He is very, very near. God is not far from his people. He is not somewhere in heaven, uninterested about what is happening in the world. God is not unmoved toward sinners. He is filled with compassion. He is of great mercy, and he has a desire to forgive sin. And this miracle of grace can only be explained from his everlasting love. He loved his people with an everlasting love, and therefore he can live among his people, since he himself met all the conditions for a life in communion with him. What conditions? Payment of sin. The blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, needed to be shed for the full propitiation of our sins. To say it in a few words, God can only dwell among his people because of the blood of Christ. All the Old Testament bloodshed points to Jesus' bloodshed once for all. And in the light of the New Testament, a wide vista opens to us. God is in our midst through the Lord Jesus Christ by the working of his Spirit. On the day of ascension, Christ entered the heavenly courts with blood. And as the great high priest, he blesses his people with all the blessings he has merited by his bloodshed. It is for Christ's sake that God comes very close to us, drawing us into his fellowship. God can live among his people again. Yes, by his Spirit, he dwells in their hearts to never leave them. He has brought us back into his fellowship by his bloodshed. And the blessing of his presence is secured by the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ continually blesses his church because he is in the heavenly places with blood. The finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ is the foundation for this blessing. We don't need to go to Jerusalem to find the Lord's presence. If you go to Jerusalem, you will not find a temple or altar anymore. Why not? Because Christ has shed his blood and the Holy Spirit is poured out, applying all of Christ that is promised to us. God is in our midst only because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, the Lord is a refuge for poor and needy sinners. God still dwells among his people by his word and spirit. God's church is present where people are gathered in his name. God is in the midst of us. God can be among us by means of word and sacrament because of the broken body and shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to that end, the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper point us. And all who have taken refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ are welcome at this Holy Supper. The bread and the wine sign and seal the Lord's gracious presence. He makes his habitation in the hearts of sinners because of the finished work of Christ. His gracious presence is guaranteed by Christ, though we daily forfeit his presence. Or if we look at self, we can only bow our head in shame and confess, God cannot dwell with me. By nature, there is no room in my heart for him. And yet, he assures us that he still wants to continue to be in the midst of his people because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that blood of him has as much power as when he shed it for his church 2,000 years ago. And all those who have taken refuge in Christ, who have learned to shelter behind the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, are welcome to eat and drink and taste that the Lord is good. Also, this very day, he is in our midst under the means of word and sacrament. And where the Lord is, there is safety, there's harmony, there's peace, only because of his blood. He makes himself a habitation among us. The Lord is so close to his people. He is so near to them. The broken bread and poured out wine assures you, with me in your midst, I will bless you with all spiritual blessings so that you shall not be in want. With me, there is abundance since I am in your midst. Amen. Shall we pray for the Lord's blessing? Gracious Lord, head of thy church, we have come here together around this table, since it pleases thee to commune thyself with thy benefits, with us. And that's what we pray for too. Thou hast promised to abide with us by thy Spirit. And it pleases thee to use means to strengthen and nourish a weak and thirsty soul. We pray that thou, who art the great host of this holy table, will nourish us. Lord, we confess that we cannot do anything without thy gracious presence. Will thou be in our midst according to thy own promise? And may all we all behold thee, so that our souls will be satisfied. Lord, we are weak, and our understanding of spiritual matters is limited. And therefore we pray for thy blessing upon thy food and drink. May our hearts be lifted up to thee and to thy heavenly blessings, which thou art distributing to poor and needy sinners. And so we pray to glorify thy name in our midst, that everything may go in good order. Will thou keep us from sin and hear us for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. The bread which we break is the communion with the body of Christ. Take, eat, remember and believe that the body of Christ is broken for the full forgiveness of all your sins. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion with the blood of Christ. Take, drink ye all of it. Remember and believe that the precious blood of Christ is shed for the full forgiveness of all your sins. God is in the midst of her. We just paid attention to his pardoning grace, and now we will focus on his protecting grace. God is in the midst of his people because of the broken body and shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what the bread and wine points us to. God is in our midst. What does that mean? Well, the text continues, she shall not be moved. In this text, this statement does not refer to God, but to God's people. They shall not be moved. They cannot fall. They cannot waver. But instead, they will be unmoved. How can this be? Because God is in their midst. This word is so often contrary to our experiences. So often we feel that we are moved. So often we waver. Doubts can fill our hearts and expel our trust and faith in the Lord's promises. Or if we look at self and our circumstances, then we already begin to falter. And yes, that is what we are by nature. Due to our own fault, we have become a wavering people. But the bread and wine point us to God's unwavering faithfulness. Bread and wine point us to God's unwavering love and displays to us this morning, though you are unfaithful, though your zeal for me and my service is stained with sin, though you go astray so easily, I remain what I am. I am in your midst. And therefore, you shall not be moved. From God's perspective, you cannot go lost. You cannot lose faith. You cannot end up in eternal perdition because he is in the midst of us with his grace. We shall not be moved. How? Well, look carefully to what happens with all the attacks from Satan. What happens with the fiery arrows of sin that are shot at you? They cannot harm you anymore because God is in the midst of us. Though we are surrounded by all kinds of trouble, think of the trouble of the world or your personal troubles. Maybe at times you fear to be swallowed up by them. And yet the Lord says to you, in the midst of your trouble, I dwell. And therefore, you shall not be moved. Because all our troubles came upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Though I deserve to collapse under the weight of sin, The Lord Jesus carried away the curse of sin, and he died in our stead, so that wavering people shall not be moved. Oh, if I look to him, to his unwavering faithfulness, then I know I shall not be moved, because the Lord is in our midst. Then you will sing, though flesh and heart should faint and fail, the Lord will ever be the strength and portion of my heart, my God, eternally. The table is now open for all those who want to show the Lord's death. The bread which we break is the communion with the body of Christ. Take, eat, remember and believe that the body of Christ is broken for the full forgiveness of all your sins. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion with the blood of Christ. Take, drink ye all of it. Remember and believe that the precious blood of Christ is shed for the full forgiveness of all your sins. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. How can we be so sure that this will never happen? Because Christ has ransomed us with his blood. He has paid for us with the high price of his blood. And now we are his, and he has become ours. That is what faith appropriates. Faith owns the Lord Jesus because we are his. The tokens of bread and wine point us to the price which he has paid to deliver us from sin and guilt. He paid our debt with the precious price of his blood. And what happened when the Lord Jesus shed his blood? He made atonement for his people. He satisfied God's wrath under which we should have perished everlastingly. But he did more. When he shed his blood, the power of sin and Satan were broken. Why is that? Well, they cannot accuse God's people anymore. Christ died in their stead. And that is what we see in these visible tokens. I for you, whereas you should have suffered eternal death. And because we are his, we cannot be moved. We can only be moved if the Lord could be moved by Satan's attack. And yet that will not happen, since Christ has overcome Satan's power. And at the table of the Lord, we are instructed to look away from all that makes us waver and to look to him who cannot be moved. Do we trust him? The Lord knows how weak we are, and therefore he has set a table in our midst to strengthen faith. Did you taste the bread and wine? So assuredly the Lord will be in our midst with his protecting power. Recall the story of the Lord Jesus walking on the Sea of Galilee. He came to his disciples who thought that they were alone in their trouble. And yet it appeared that the Lord was already in their midst by his intercession on the mount. And when he shows his presence, walking to them on the waves, Peter wants to go to his master. And the Lord gives him permission to walk on the sea. Peter was enabled by him because the Lord was with him. He looked to his master and he did not waver. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. He wavered and began to sink. Now was Peter lost? No, because the Lord Jesus was there, stretching out his hand, catching him. The Lord was there so that he would not perish. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Christ's blood keeps all his people safe. Even if they fear to sink away in the midst of storms, he is our great defender. We shall not be moved, since he will not be moved. Let us close with prayer, and after we have returned to our seats, we will sing from Psalter 203, stanza 5. 203, stanza 5. Shall we pray and give thanks to the Lord? We give thee humble thanks, O gracious Lord, for the food and drink by which our souls could be fed. Thou art so undeserving good for unworthy sinners. Lord, as we will continue our life journey, we pray for thy protecting grace. Be our refuge. Be in our midst so that we shall not be moved. May we see more of thee and of thy faithfulness and pardoning grace, so that we will seek thee and live in newness of life to thy honor and glory. Will thou go before us, that we may follow thee, looking to thee, expecting all from thee, since thou art faithful. Since thy work, O Lord Jesus Christ, is complete and full. Since thy righteous justice is satisfied. And so, all those who seek and find refuge in thee are safe. Wilt thou remember us in thy mercy and hear us for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.